Hey, welcome everybody again at Stage Yell at the 38C3. It's amazing how time passes. We are here at Stage Yell and we're learning now about GNU Boot, where Adrian, who's here with us, you find him as Neox on the internet, will introduce us to GNU Boot and how important it is to have a fully free BIOS, to have fully free software on the internet and on our computers. So I wish you a wonderful session, and this is your applause, Adrian. This is your stage. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. I'm very pleased to meet you all. So, going to start. Who I am? First, I'm Adrian Niaks-Bourmo. I'm one of the GNU Boot maintainers. We are two people, actually. I'm also an elected member of the XMPP Standards Foundation and a committee member of the Libre Planet Committee and treasurer of a French non-profit. Today, I'm going to talk to you about a free BIOS. So I will start to explain to you what is a BIOS and why should you care. I'll talk to you about the GNU Boot distribution and its role in the ecosystem. And after that, I'll talk to you about my work on the field of RAM initialization for the KGPUD16 and how to contribute to GNU Boot. So first, why should you care about BIOS? In the early days of personal computing, many companies, and IBM was the first, to introduce the basic input-output system. BIOS, that you might know today as UEFI, is a software that is installed on your mainboard. If you take your hard drive and remove it from your computer still boots. At some point. And this software is just all installed in a flash drive, in a flash chip that is on your mainboard. This BIOS is a software. Its role is to initialize the hardware. Initializing means many things that we'll see just after. It also loads the operating system, provides services to the operating system, and we'll see that it runs before and after the OS is loaded. Before the OS, hardware needs preparation. It means that the BIOS has to initialize the hardware. It has to configure it to make it work properly and enumerate probe to check what hardware is really present. A critical hardware example of that is memory, because memory has to be trained. Basically, the RAM is unusable if the BIOS does nothing. And the BIOS has to probe RAM chips, detect what RAM is present, how it works, is it ECC, non-ECC, is there correcting errors automated, and then it has to train for the RAM to calculate delays between controllers and the actual modules. So this is a huge work for the BIOS. Also, the operating system has to be found, and it means that your hard drive has to be found by the BIOS. So it has to read the disk, and sometimes it needs drivers to do that. So at some extent, your BIOS is like some operating system too. And it also provides, when applicable, a boot menu to allow you to choose between the hard drives, for example. And for that, it needs graphics, so also drivers. It also runs in parallel of the OS. For example, you might have heard about the Advanced Configuration Power Interface, ACPI, which is, in fact, bytecode provided by the BIOS and executed by the operating system. For instance, the Linux kernel has an interpreter in it that is quite huge and that executes this bytecode. So if you have a non-free BIOS, your kernel is executing a non-free software. Also, there is a management mode, the system management mode, SMM. This is a special mode used by your CPU. In fact, it's a mode that is triggered or periodically triggered. And it means that your operating system is interrupted preemptively, and the part of the BIOS is executed. sometimes is assist. this is to execute some routine related to thermal management or other things. UEFI is also something like that with a kernel in it, and sometimes even a full network stack allowing for a BIOS update, for example. And there is the famous Intel Management Engine and its less famous AMD Platform Security Processor. In both cases, this is separated computers that are inside your CPU. For some time, it was hidden. Now everybody knows it's there. And these computers, for instance, the Intel Management Engine that I know a bit more, execute a complete operating system, usually Minix, but older versions have special distribution that are not Linux or Minix. And Intel Management Engine and AMD Platform Processor have been made to enforce DRM. For instance, you have software on your computer that will need the Intel Management Engine to do the encryption decryption stuff for DRM enforcing videos, for example. There is many articles about that. You can just check that. I will not dive in the details of that, but this is good to know. So an ARM-free BIOS can be harmful and is harmful. Proprietary code can hide malware and vulnerabilities. This is something that can't be audited, that can't be fixed, because it's non-free. You can't access the code, you can't modify it, not share with it, share it with other people. And it's impossible to change anything. So it means that arbitrary list of compatibility hardware is fixed. You can't change it. If you want to change your Wi-Fi card, you can't do it. So sometimes you're forced to use a Wi-Fi card that needs a non-free driver. And you're forced to rely on BIOS vendor for bug fixing. For instance, if your BIOS has a bug that does not recognize, I don't know, some PCIe card, you can't do it yourself. You can't fix that yourself. You're forced to rely on BIOS vendor and wait for the fix to happen, or never, because sometimes the BIOS is non-supported. And there is no means against program obsolescence. For example, BIOSes can just check a date, and after a later date, just stop working for some functionality or all the functionalities. And as I said earlier, it's a way to enforce DRM at very wide scale, but not just videos or something else, but also preventing you from booting another operating system than Windows, for instance. And a good example of that has been the Linux Surface of Microsoft, the Surface of Microsoft that can't boot Linux unless you change the BIOS. Some model specific of the Surface, but not mine. Question will be at the end, please. Oh, great. So I will talk about the GNU Boot distribution. First, I want to introduce you to the Freedom Ladder, that is a campaign made by the FSF. It started in 2014, but it still continues, and many meetings have been led in 2021, and it continues still. It means the Freedom Ladder that each step toward fully free software is good. But you're not forced to use fully free software if you can't. This is a pragmatic view, because nobody or few people are able to just trash their computer and buy another one that is running under fully free software. But this session is made to show you that this is possible. It can be your goal. So this is why I'm just showing you that, because I'm not telling you to trash your computer and replace it by another one. But think about the thing that you can replace it at some point by something that runs under fully free software. I will start with some context for the GNU Boot distribution. So the GNU Boot distribution is a fully free boot software distribution. It means that we reuse software. We don't develop or code anything ourselves, or if we do it, we do it upstream. We don't do it on GNU Boot. GNU Boot is a distribution that reuses software like Coreboot, CBIOS, Grub, Memtest 86, or something else like that. We have many software that we distribute. Our goal is to make that easy for people, so we create images that are installable of supported computers. And we are the GNU, we are a GNU project using the GNU infrastructure. For instance, with the GNU source code forge, that is Savannah, we use the FTP server of the GNU project for releases and the GNU reporting system, the bug reporting system. And this GNU boot distribution is maintained by me and Dennis GNU2 correctly. That was here yesterday for the lightning talk. Why this project exists? Because in the beginning, there was LibreBoot. That was the fully free boot software distribution, first released in 2013. But in 2022, it started to contain non-free software. For example, on some boards that LibreBoot now supports, it requires executing binary blobs. And for instance, the FSP or the MLC. FSP is a blob by Intel that does any work that the BIOS has to do. For instance, the core boot, the BIOS we use for the BIOS, the firmware that is initializing hardware, will just call the FSP and then return, and everything is done, and then call the operating system. So the FSP does everything. It's a binary black box, and yeah. The problem is that many people, think LibreBoot is still entirely free. It does not do that. Does not know that. So people that are installing LibreBoot on the computer that requires FSP sometimes do not know that the FSP is there and does all that thing. So in 2023, it led to GNUBoot creation. Me with Dennis Carrickley started the project. And some months after that, Lee Rowe, the LibreBoot maintainer, created Canoe Boot, probably because Canoe is, when it's well pronounced, so not like me, pronounces something like GNU Boot. So it was a funny joke. Canoe Boot is a different project then, and has different method and ideology. We are not against Canoe Boot, for instance, because we like diversity. This is a different approach, and Canoe Boot just has more hardware support, but because it includes experimental stuff that we don't want to include. There are many non-upstream changes, for example, out of three patches. For instance, there is the grub that we use a stable version of grub, and Canoe Boot use a version of grub where patches added to support newer LVM encryption with Lux. And we don't want to support that because these patches are not inside the stable grub and nor in experimental grub at all. So we wait for that to be upstream, and perhaps we'll do that, because Canoe Boot does not seem wanting to do that. So yeah, Canoe Boot has a less long-term support, less long-term focus. Things can be dropped. For example, the main board has been dropped already, planned to be re-added, but we don't know yet. That's a different approach of doing things. And we have a very different ideology. Lee Rowe is against under patent free software and respect your freedom. I'll talk about that later. But we are aligned with this certification of the FSF as a pragmatic solution. And we think it's important to be clear with people and inform them about what is non-free, what is free. So that's our disagreement with Lee. We answer, for instance, if Canoe Boot will continue if the GNU Boot stopped, because this project has been made to compete with us. So probably if we stop, she stops also. Collaboration works when communication is done right. So if we can't collaborate and communicate right, that will be very good. For example, Purism has bad communication when it comes to telling people what is free, what is not. So it makes it difficult to promote them more. So if Canoe Boot is clear about that, we can collaborate with them. So the current status of GNU Boot, we just released some weeks ago our last release candidate, the RC5. We support around 20 boards, mostly ThinkPad laptop from 2008 and 2009. This is 2009. We support also Intel Workstation from the same time, around the same time. Powerful Server Workstation from 2011 and 2013. For instance, the KGP D16 I will talk about. We have a website and documentation, all documentation that we need to change because it's inherited, and a status page that is very important to check before installations because we show here if boards have been tested or not, or if there are bugs. And there is also information of how to contribute. In 2024, we made many things, such as improving the build system for the website, allowing people to contribute easier. We have reworked hugely the build system to a package structure because there was none. We created a manual, organized it, and we integrated GNU/GIGS into our build system because it allows for reproducibility and also easier maintenance for us. Some work has been done on bootstrapping GNAT, the ADA compiler on GIGS. It's not upstream yet. We have a lot of work to do for that. Bug fixes have been done also, and we started to authenticate our repository for commits using GIGS tools. And we made an install party in Paris in December. Future plans and challenges. We have fixed bugs since the last release candidate. So in URC will happen some weeks or perhaps some days. We are continuing the GIGS integration and writing the manual, work for upstreaming GNAT. Also, we'll try to update the software versions at some point. For example, core boot, we still use 4.15, I think. We can do with a better recent version, more recent. But we need for that our build system to be stable. And keep in mind, this evening, we'll do an install party at the critical decentralizations cluster, and tomorrow also at the afternoon. So GNU Boot is a distribution, so we try to contribute to upstream and not doing things ourselves. So for instance, we already started to report bugs and security issues. For example, we found non-free binaries in core boot, and they were present in fully free software distributions like GIGS or even Parabola and Debian also. So we reported that. We started to integrate software in GIGS. For example, we integrated our Grub core boot package, and we plan to make some patches upstream for core boot at some point. RYF, Respect Your Freedom, and FSDG. The FSDG, if you don't know it, is a certification with guidelines for distributions to be only composed with free software and only recommend free software. GIGS is one of them. You have also Parabola, Triskel, and others. We are technically, as GNU Boot, following these guidelines, but since we're not GNU Linux distribution, we're not yet officially listed as such. Perhaps it will happen. We are supporting the Respect Your Freedom certification because it's something that encourages the creation and sale of hardware that does the maximum to respect your freedom. It's not perfect because, for instance, I've written it in the slides, only the software running on main CPU is free, and we tolerate secondary CPU running non-free software, but we do that because it's pragmatic. Not allowing that will make that the certification will certify nothing. No computer will be allowed to be certified. So it's a first step, and once it's possible to do that without a secondary processor doing this, this criteria will just disappear. So I worked a bit on the ASUS KGPU D16, which is one of the most powerful boards we under free software used in it. It's a board that is used by the FSF, so for the GNU project and other things, and also their website. It's a well-known hardware yet. Northbridge is well-known, Southbridge, etc. So it's a good board, and I didn't write it here, but it's very cheap. For instance, currently in Europe, a board like that just is expensive, like $60 in France, actually, probably the same in Germany. So it's very, very cheap. It was supported by Coreboot in the past, but it was dropped due to a lack of maintenance and also big problems with initialization of the RAM, the memory, and other bugs with plug and play, etc. So I worked for that in Sorbonne University in France. The hardware was funded by the Free Software Foundation. Thanks a lot to the FSF for that. I was paid very minimum wage for that, but it allowed me to live for 6 months with that as an internship. A paper is incoming. It's still in the many people reviews. I'm waiting for 8 people, but probably 20 are just reviewing it just after. So there is a lot of work still. And future work with that paper that is about how RAM initialization works with the DDR3 implies that code will be written to rewrite the algorithm and upstream it into core boot. So we might need help, and do not hesitate to contact me if you want to help me with that. GNU boot is a distribution, and we need help. We are 2 people maintaining it. We have 3 or more people that are already contributing, but we need more people, especially for improvement of the manual and website, testing releases, because it's important to tell other people it works on a given hardware. It's important to fix bugs also and add features, and reporting issues and still suggesting enhancements is also important. You can do it by visiting our website about that with instruction on how to contribute. Tell people that LibreBoot contains non-free software. It's very important because many people still think it's fully free. Test computers. Open bug reports, tell us it works. You can, if you want, reach us. We are present on IRC. You can use XMPP with gateways to do that. And send patches if you know how to. Else, you can also send your modified files versions. We can do the patch for you and just credit you as you are the author. So thanks a lot for hearing that talk. And now I think you can start by asking questions.
Thank you for your talk. So, do we have any questions here in the room? There.
I see one over here.
My question is, how does GNU boot compare to GNU boot, which is, I think, also a fork of LibreBoot by the LibreBoot maintainer? Because I think GNU boot was forked from an older version of LibreBoot, and GNU boot is like a more modern fork. But I looked at the GNU boot a repository, and there seems to be a lot of work going on now. So is it modernized now? What's the state?
The problem we have is that recent LibreBoot is non-free, and Canoe boot arrived after GNU boot forked. GNU boot forked the earlier version of LibreBoot that was free, the last one, because we did not want it to fork from something that we don't know if it's free or not. We just used the last version that was known to be fully free. So yes, we were a bit outdated, and we worked to modernize that. So at this point, we diverge hugely from LibreBoot and Canoe boot. We do not have the same build system at all. We integrated gigs. So we are not the same project anymore. And Canoe boot is still something like a downstream fork of LibreBoot with proprietary stuff removed. But sometimes we still find proprietary stuff in Canoe boot and signal that, report that. So probably the work of making Canoe boot fully free is not ended. So this is probably something that can describe the difference. I don't know.
I've seen a question here in the room.
OK, I have a more elaborate question and a very quick question. The more elaborate one is, I know that GNU boot does not allow microcode updates to the CPU. And I was wondering if this can be a security hole in GNU boot. And the other very quick question is, do you plan to support other boards, other laptops in the future? Thank you.
Yes, thanks a lot. Microcode is a difficult question because many people think that without microcode, you still have software in the CPU where it's not really entirely free. The microcode in CPUs without updates is a mask ROM, usually. So it's hardware, and you can better retro engineer it and know what it does. But sometimes bugs are fixed with microcode updates. The problem is with Intel processor, for instance, microcode updates are encrypted, and it's very difficult to retro engineer. So this is something we want to avoid, because microcode can do many, many things. And it could be also containing backdoors, or I don't know. So we don't want to support that. Just to be complete, you can fix the problems that microcode updates are fixing without using microcode updates. For instance, the Linux kernel can mitigate some problems, like speculative execution, I don't know. Things like Spectre or Meltdown can be mitigated with the kernel without microcode updates. The problem is, on some boards, probably the lack of microcode updates can cause instabilities. Yes, it can happen. For instance, now we don't have any reports for that. So if you find something like that, please report it, and we'll see what we can do. But usually, there is no problem. And for newer boards, yes, we plan to support newer boards, but we want for that to do contribution upstream. We don't want to have out of three patches that are not upstreamed, because it will force us to maintain that ourselves, and we want the project, the upstream project, to do that for us. We are a distribution like Debian, like Parabola, like Gix, and we want upstream projects to do the enhancements, and we can do that for them. We can help upstreaming things, but that's not in GNU Boot that has to be done. So if people send us patches that are out of three, we usually do not accept that.
Do we have another question in the room, or the Signal Angel?
You mentioned that to make it pragmatic and able to be certified, the secondary processor may not run free code. By secondary processor, did you mean core or another physical processor?
It's not a core, it's another processor. For instance, in many computers like this one, there is a CPU, another CPU that is used to manage thermal or voltage or keyboard. That is a secondary processor. It's not the main CPU. It's another processor that uses, that executes non-free software. This software is not has not the same rights that other software that runs on the main processor. And usually it's not as dangerous as the other, but it's not a good situation. We tolerate that, but it's not okay. And we want that to disappear. But since no other computer exists that has a fully free software on any processor, we can't be pragmatic with that, and we prefer to accept computers like that because it makes things advance.
Yes, one more question there. Where and when tonight can people find you for the meetup?
You can find us, it's written something there, at the Critical Decentralization Cluster Circle, and tomorrow the Pentagon Order Circle. Always at the Critical Decentralization Cluster.
Cool, thank you. And where can people find your slides?
Yeah, it's, I think, on the talk page. I added that.
Amazing, thank you.
So, any other questions? No?
There is one.
Where? There.
You were talking about the issues with the reminiscentization with the D16 board. Mm-hmm. I personally own a D8 myself, and I have similar issues. Do they like share the same code base? Would the issues be fixed for the D8 too, or is that different?
No, there is a shared code base, and probably the problems we have with D16 are the same as the D8. Yeah.
Okay, that's good to know. Okay. Yeah.
Do not hesitate to contact us for testing.
Okay, do I see some hands here in the room? No, okay. So I personally have a question too. So if I install GNU Boot on my laptop tonight, will I still be able to run my operation system, or does it some kind of interconnect?
What do you mean by operation system?
My Linux Arc, by the way.
It will help you in some way, but keep in mind that nothing is 100% secure. It does not exist. You will be safe from IntelliMe, you will be safe from AMD PSP, you will be safe from many surveillance systems, but your network will always be under surveillance, and probably you will use other peripherals that can be also surveilling you. You can have also non-free software on your hard drive or SSD. Sometimes it's firmware that does many things and has a direct access of the memory. So it's not perfect. It's a very good step, but you're not outside of the surveillance system.
Okay, thanks. Then, thank you for your talk. Thank you for your project. Give a warm round of applause, please.
Thank you.